This is Censorship Saturday here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education and Erotic University. It's actually started last night, but all throughout September, on Turner Classic Movies, they will be showing pre-code films. Now, a pre-code film, we're talking about the production code that was instituted in the 1930s. It really came into effect in 1934. It started to have some impact in the early 1930s. Before that, movies were free to explore a lot of different topics. There was even nudity in what are known as the pre-code films. This production code was in place all the way until 1967, put severe restrictions on the type of topics and the content that could be in American motion pictures. If you didn't go along with the production code, you would not get your film screened, and you couldn't get it distributed. Pre-code films are interesting films from the 1920s and some of the very early 1930 ones. They dealt with subject matter that was forbidden for the next 30 years and more. The films will be presented on TCM with their regular movie host Robert Osborne and actor Alec Baldwin. Last night was Babyface. They'll also be screening two movies that they've never shown before, Search for Beauty from 1934 and Call Her Savage from 1932. Call Her Savage, I have seen. It's the next to the last film that Clara Bow made. Now, she was incredibly sexy on film. And this is the restored version they're going to be showing. In one of the scenes, Clara Bow, who plays Nasa Springer, takes a man with her to a gay bar, and there are two men in maid's uniforms with feather dusters singing. There's also a very memorable scene where Clara's wearing a very thin top, clearly not wearing a bra, where she's playing with her dog, and you really need to see it, but it's surprising. Something like that would not be seen again for a long time. They will also be showing the 2008 documentary, Thou Shalt Not, Sex, Sin, and Censorship in Pre-Code Hollywood. It was very good. I've seen that. So if you enjoy this sort of thing, you'll want to go to the TCM.com website, where they have a complete listing of the pre-code films that they're going to be showing. Twitter has gotten a lot of criticism over the summer for their censorship of condom ads. And the story resurfaced yet again in an article from the Washingtonian and their Washingtonian.com site, where Washington, D.C.'s Department of Health had problems putting ads on Twitter. They wanted to promote their Rubber Revolution free condom distribution program, and they promoted tweets on its @FreeCondomsDC Twitter account. An automated response from Twitter said the tweet violated Twitter's ad policy, and they had its account barred from advertising. Now, they got their account restored literally hours after a call from the Washingtonian asking about this policy. But if you don't have the big guns to come in and help you, other companies are having trouble, and we're kind of supposed to be promoting condoms. It's a good idea. As with most censorship, Twitter's policies are nonsensical and random. Almost everyone who's had to deal with them calls their policies inconsistent and confusing and very hard to figure out what you can and can't do. But that's how censorship generally works. It's not the people who are trying to promote positive sexuality and condom use that need to clean up their act. Twitter is the one who needs to clean up their act. We reported on this a while ago about the South Williamsport High School in northern Pennsylvania that canceled a production of the musical Monty Python's Spamalot. Now, at the time, everyone said that it was because it included a same-sex wedding. The school denied that that was the reason. Remember, in Pennsylvania, gay people do have a right to get married. Well, thanks to Keystone Progress, they've used the state's right-to-know law and found out that the musical was specifically canceled for its homosexual themes. One of the things we've pointed out time and time again, if you scratch a censor, you're also scratching a liar. The two do seem to go hand in hand, and in this case, they discovered a series of emails between Principal Jesse Smith, the musical director Don Birch, and Superintendent Mark Stamm, and they show that the production was canceled specifically because it had homosexual themes in it. The emails also confirm that the principal was lying when he said that the musical was not canceled, that it had only been under consideration. What they discovered was that they'd already signed a check for around $2,000 for the licensing rights, and they did that back in May. You don't pay $2,000 for something that's under consideration. In the emails, the principals wrote to music director Don Birch that he had problems with a guy sending another guy a message on girls' underwear and a gay wedding being performed. Birch replied that she'd read the script several times, had it right there, and there was no underwear sending anywhere in the script. As to the homosexual themes, which again are gay marriage is legal in Pennsylvania, she said, and I'm quoting, "I am fully aware of their place in the script and am not certain what offense they create." And she again pointed out to him that marriage equality was now in the state of Pennsylvania. The emails also showed that Superintendent Mark Stamm was fully supportive of the principal's decision. Not only that, he was fully supportive of the decision to lie about the reason for canceling the production. Now, there have been some schools who found that the show was a little controversial, and so there have been some acceptable edits made to the show, but that wasn't good enough for this principal. But this intersection of homophobia and censorship and dishonesty, it's nothing new, not even anything unusual. So Facebook is well known for censoring things that it finds too sexy. Is Instagram censoring images that aren't sexy enough? Instagram does censor. It was a classic case where Rihanna was kicked off the site because she posted some topless photos back in May, but in this case, it was Sam Newman. She's a 19-year-old college student from Ohio. She is a little bit overweight, and she posted bikini photos of herself. They're not particularly racy photos. And it's common for bikini photos to be on Instagram. That's nothing unusual. Nonetheless, she got a notice from Instagram that she had violated their community guidelines. Why? Well, the only thing was different from what she put up and what other people put up is that she was a bit heavier than most of those people. And their pictures got to stay up. Instagram has 9.2 million images tagged either bikini or bikinis. And those tend to show a lot more skin. And of course, the story got into the news. NBC did a report on it. And right after that, Instagram revoked their suspension of the woman's account. But why does it always have to be this way? You have to get national attention to get your account back. Without that, navigating the Byzantine world of censorship is pretty difficult. And true, most censorship policies are inconsistent. That's about the only thing that's consistent about